It's time for Hour Tua.
It's Hour Tua. It's Hour Tua. It's Hour Tua. Tua, Tua, Tua. Tagovailoa. Not
Tua Tagovailoa.
A forever Dolphins quarterback.
Tua.
It's Hour Tua. It's Hour Tua.
Tua.
Tua, Tua, Tua. Tua, Tua, Tua. Seems can go to hell. Tua Tagovailoa. Dolphins quarterback.
Daddy loves you guys.
Hour Tua with Tobin and Leroy.
Check the history of food.
Tua, the program. Needless to say, didn't get that deal yesterday. It was July 4th, so Tua yet to sign an extension. He killed going. That would have been weird news on a July 4th if they were in the back of a bar smoking, figuring out the contract details for Tua. That would be very interesting. But no.
Sorting out the deets.
4th of July yesterday, it was a 4th of July. And Marcos, you were out and about. It's for family. It's for friends. It's for baseball. It's for beer. It's for bikinis. It's for, and you had it all. You had it all. So kind of tell us what your 4th of July journey was yesterday.
Indeed. I'm going to give you a bit of a backstory here, Dan, if that's okay, if you have time. Are you busy? Are you doing anything right now?
I'm here for a while.
Okay, cool. You'll be here for a little bit. So I had an opportunity last week to do something I hadn't done probably in my adult life, right? Every year I talk about how I want to purchase a lot of fireworks, but I'm either usually busy on July 4th or the finances just aren't where they need to be, where I feel comfortable spending.
Yeah, because fireworks aren't what they used to be, where you know, you go buy a packet of black cats or some jumping jacks and spend like $2. No, fireworks are for real now.
Let me ask you, Dan. Let me go ahead and let's play a game of Price is Right, if possible. How much do you think your average cost of sparklers are? And I'm talking sparklers. I'm talking the three boxes, normal standard size, not the big ones, just your normal standard. Look, I have sparklers here. You give it to a little kid, totally. How much do you think that costs?
For the just normal
three-pack of sparklers, three boxes of sparklers. There's some in there. You know, they usually come in a three-pack, the red, white, and blue, whatever.
I'm going to make sense, and it's going to be totally wrong, but
$5? $5. And you know, even then, initially, I'm like, nah, that's, you know, they probably got sparklers for, I don't know, $2.99.
It's just gunpowder and a stick.
Yeah, okay. Now, I'm going to ask you another one now. You know those poppets, the ones that you throw them on the ground?
Yeah, those are awesome. You throw at your brothers and sisters' feet and everything.
For sure. How much do you think those cost per box?
Just one of the little boxes?
Just one of the little boxes.
I would think you could get three for a dollar.
Yeah, right? Those are great prices, Dan. I love those prices.
I'm still living in 1981, apparently.
Well, let me tell you the truth, Dan. Let me break it to you, buddy. Those poppets, for one box of those poppets, $2.99.
God.
Now, they say buy one, get one, so it makes you feel a little bit better, and you're getting it for like $1.50 each. But we're talking one box of those things. You accidentally open them a wrong way, they all pop out on the ground, there goes $1.50.
Do they still have the sawdust in there?
They do still have the sawdust.
Oh, nice.
That's my favorite part. But yeah, now when it comes to the sparklers that I was telling you about.
$25.
$17.99. For your standard three box of sparklers. And sure, buy one, get one. So you get six boxes of sparklers. No, dude, it's still $20 for sparklers.
Yeah.
You're not fooling anyone.
And I know those martyrs and stuff like that, they're easily like $100.
So this is what I ended up doing. Last week, as the show was going on, I'm watching videos of fireworks. I'm doing my research here. I'm on TNTfireworks.com, and every commercial break, Leroy comes in here and notices that I'm watching these fireworks. Leroy almost burned his house down as a child. So he was playing fireman. He was being very crazy. But nonetheless, that left him with some childhood trauma that prevented him from ever purchasing fireworks and being able to celebrate them. Once he saw me reviewing these videos the entire commercial break, he decided enough is enough, and that same day went to the TNT fireworks store and spent nearly $400 on fireworks. So it's his first experience being able to do so, and me having, again, one of the better July 4th I've ever had, was also able to spend nearly $300 at the fireworks store as well, because I was ready to blow some stuff up, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
So it begins in the morning. I wake up, able to sleep in a little bit, hanging out. Leroy hits me. He calls my phone at 9 in the morning. He's excited, very, very clearly excited about what was about to go on. He tells me what's on the menu for his barbecue a little bit later. And then I receive a text from him a little bit later saying, hey, at around 4:30, we're going to kick off festivities. When do you like to start your July 4th festivities, Dan? Like, when is too early? When is too late? When's the perfect time for you?
Usually try to crack open my first beer around 10 a.m.
Yeah, well,
but the festivities, yeah, it's more of a 2-3 in the afternoon type thing.
The first beer at 10 a.m. is solid. I love that.
Have a day off.
Yeah, absolutely. No, absolutely. But so I'm sorry. And you said the start time for you is what, a good time for you to attend a barbecue? What time would that be?
I'd say, I mean, I'd prefer like we start around 1 or 2 in the afternoon.
Yeah, I feel that. And you know, I was thinking about it because Leroy previously, because he didn't have fireworks, was ready to start this bad boy off at like noon, 1 o'clock. He told me people would be there partying. But if you think about it, if these people are also going to be at your home for fireworks, you're going to have these people at your home from noon, 1 o'clock, all the way to like 10, 11.
Right.
That your time as a guest at my home expires after 8 hours.
Right.
Completely expires. The same way my time at a job expires after 8 hours, unless I'm obviously working a double. You can't be at my house all day. So anyway, Leroy switches it to about 4 o'clock. Brilliant move on his part. Now, I also have another thing to do with my family at around 6, 7 p.m. So him pushing it back, unfortunately, reduce the amount of time that I can go to Leroy's house. But I wasn't going to be denied the plate. The spread that was promised to
me. I'm sure it's great.
Jerk chicken, ribs, sausage, hot dogs, burgers, baked beans, mac and cheese. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, one of the best hot dogs I've ever had in my life.
Is Leroy doing most of the cooking, most of the grilling?
Leroy and his son Fonz did a lot of the cooking.
Nice.
Fonz did a lot of the sides in regards to the meat. Leroy was able to hook that up, and he bought some chili with like spicy sausage in it from a place called Proper Sausage. I have no idea what the hell that is, but it was amazing to say the least. But you know, I got into one of those points that can possibly get me into some trouble, Dan. Maybe you've been here as well. I got to a point with my family where they were taking too long to get ready, where if I waited for them to get ready, I wouldn't have been able to make it to Leroy's on time in order for me to enjoy it and go to, you know, the other family festivity that I had to do. So I was at a point where, do I leave my family for an hour and a half? Or do I wait for them like the gentleman that I am?
No, you gotta leave.
I left them, Dan. Left them in the dust.
Tell them business is business.
I'm out of here, dude. You can take your poopy little baby and I'll see you in an hour.
Business is business.
So I had to do what I had to do, man. I headed over to Leroy's mansion. I was able to see Leroy in his element with his family, with his new puppy. Do you know he has a new puppy?
No, I did not know he had a new puppy.
Yeah, him, his daughter is fostering a puppy for community service hours, a.k.a. they got a new puppy.
Dude. They got a new dog.
They got a new dog. So I was able to see him, the new dog, and enjoy the food. And I have actual evidence right here of what I was able to consume, what was prepared for me gracefully by our boy Leroy Horde. We call this the dog from hell. Right now, what I'm about to show you is a mixture of chili, cheese, sausage, hot dog, ground beef, and toppings galore.
Sounds like a heart
right
attack.
Here on our Twitch.
Goodness.
560 WQAM.
That is a lot.
Check
of dog.
Check that bad boy out. Check that bad boy out. That right there gave me the meat sweats.
Yeah, it's like a lot of meat, but they still look to be a decent amount of bun there.
Decent amount of bun.
I'm sure it was dirty, though.
You know what the problem is, though? The bun, it's very weak in the middle. Very weak. So if you add a lot of chili or anything that's soft, it rips right through.
That's the problem with hot dogs and tacos and stuff. You know, you want a big, fat taco, a big hot dog.
I know.
But like, it doesn't contain to itself. It starts
just rips right through,
man. Yeah, and it gets on your hands and your face and everything. So, like, I try to keep my hot dogs and my tacos and stuff to a minimal size. Therefore, it's not all over the place. Yeah.
And, you know, this isn't good first date material in regards to, not that I was on a first date, right. But this is just, you know, you don't want to eat one of these on a first date.
If you go to a restaurant and you love the dog from hell and they have it and you're on a first date or even a second date, you just don't order that. Just don't order that.
Yeah, it's just better if you don't.
But yeah, Leroy's told me about his legendary parties. He says 4th of July is always crazy and fun.
Yeah, it was a good time. We had family in the pool, family my favorite part, actually, which I thought was interesting, was after we took a shot outside, we had some food, we're hanging out with all the young people, the young whippersnappers. Mm-hmm. Leroy kind of disappears for a second. I end up finding him and chilling with him as we end up watching Castle for 30 minutes. Just hanging out on the inside on the couch. He had a blanket on him as he normally does with his puppy on his lap. And we sat and we watched Castle for 30 minutes.
It's an odd choice on the 4th of July.
Very strange. Very strange. But that was my experience with Leroy. But that wasn't where my experience ended. Following that, I was able to finally pick my fiance and baby up. We went to Margate, where we enjoyed a fireworks show at a park that had food trucks, which I had front row seats for. A little scared, some of the ashes from the fireworks were falling on me, making me think maybe I was too close. But my baby didn't have any issues. He wasn't complaining or crying about anything. He seemed to enjoy the entire experience. And then the night was capped off at my in-law's home, just watching some more fireworks from the neighborhood and lighting my own.
I thought you said you were going to say watching some more Castle. Like,
really had to enjoy my daily dose of Castle. But it was a good experience overall. The fireworks at the park were good. And then the ones that I bought were pretty good, too. I had an opportunity, as you can see, everyone's stereotypical video of fireworks here. It was a beautiful display. It was a great night. I had a great time for my July 4th, and I couldn't ask for anything more. Did you have anything? I know you had a lot on your agenda. Were you able to accomplish it? Did things get kind of swayed? What happened for your July 4th?
Yeah, just a lot of things went wrong. So the only exciting thing I did was around 9 o'clock, decided to go to Cafe Prima Pasta. Now, if you know Prima Pasta, that's where Lionel Messi, when he first moved to Miami, visited. It's an Argentinian-Italian restaurant in my neighborhood, like a block away. Nice. I realized as I'm walking there, I was like, oh, crap, it's 9 o'clock, and Argentina's playing Ecuador. Hmm. We're not going to be able to get into the place. It's going to be packed.
Yeah.
Couldn't have been more wrong. Place was half empty. So I got to sit down, watch a little bit of fireworks, watch the Argentina-Ecuador game, eat some Italian food, and just kind of relax. So that was really the depth of my 4th of July. So
nice. What time was this that you went to?
9 o'clock at night.
9 o'clock at night. Okay, that makes sense. That makes sense. I was like, you went to a pasta place at 9 a.m.?
9 p.m., I like to get started early. I told you, man. Crack some beers open.
You and Stanley were there.
Eat some real rich Italian food in the morning. That is one thing that's hard to put down in the a.m. hours is Italian food.
Oh, yeah.
It's great to put down in the p.m. hours, but in the a.m. hours,
if you have a fettuccine alfredo before noon, I'm judging you. For sure, I'm judging you.
I mean, if you're having a bolognese or something like that.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Oh, that's a lot on the heart.
Yeah, just having a little lasagna for breakfast. You know the use.
Let's get to the headlines real quick. They're brought to you by the new Palmetto Ford Truck Super Center. Why buy your truck at a car store? Palmetto Ford.
We know trucks.
The Heat have signed veteran Knicks shooting guard Alec Burks.
Buckets.
Deal is said for 1 year. I don't know if it's going to be that many buckets, but
buckets! We'll
see. From your mouth to God's ears.
We're bolstering the bench.
We are. The Marlins lost in the 12th inning yesterday, 6-5 to the Red Sox. The Fish look to end a four-game skid against Major League Baseball's worst White Sox. Tonight at 7:10, Brian Hoeing gets the start for the Fish. You know, Marcos,
yes.
Most of the time, you're all about an extra inning game, you know.
Yeah.
Spend a little extra time at the ballpark, have a good time. On July 4th, I don't want an extra inning game.
Come on, we got to wrap it up, dude. You know what I have to do.
Look,
here.
I want to go to the ballpark on July 4th. I don't want to spend extra time at the ballpark on July 4th. Sure. I got a lot, like you, probably had a lot of things to do.
A lot of things to do.
I know the game was early at 1 o'clock, so you're probably like, cool. And baseball games have done a great job of streamlining.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That pitch clock.
Yeah. So you're looking at two and a half hours. Let's say 2.5 hours at the most. So you're figuring 3:30. get home by 4, 4:30, we'll have the whole evening. Yep. You throw an extra 30, 45, an hour onto it, it's like, that really throws some things off.
Then traffic, you know, everything else, getting out of the stadium gets delayed. Because, you know, everyone's going to wait at this point. No one's going to be like, I'm out of here, inning 10. You waited this long, you're going to see the conclusion of the game.
Yeah, that's the things I never understood. People would do that. Like, they'd get to the 11th, and, all right, we're leaving. I'm like, you've already made it this far.
You waited this long, dude.
I did that one time at a Saints game.
Yeah.
The Saints got the ball with, like, 50 seconds left. They had to go, like, 40 yards to kick a field goal.
Yeah.
And people started leaving. And I was like, why are you leaving? Like, we got to beat traffic. I'm like, but the whole point to beat the game is to see how it culminates.
Yeah, exactly.
And the Saints ended up winning on a field goal. Those people are in their cars. Like,
yeah, exactly. Good luck celebrating that in the line to get out.
Yeah, and, you know, you probably don't beat that much traffic, to be honest with
you. It's 40 seconds, dude. You're not leaving in the middle of the third. Come on.
Yeah, so, you know. Nonetheless, so I told you I went and watched the Argentina-Ecuador game. No, yes, Messi. Indeed. Well, Messi did play. Missed a penalty kick. You know?
Missed a penalty.
A lot of people are saying, what's up with Messi?
Yeah.
He's not playing with Inter-Miami, and they keep winning.
Yep.
He's not really playing good for Argentina, and they keep winning. Some people are saying the MLS has made Messi soft.
Wow.
That's what some people are saying.
I mean, of course, that'd be easy to point to, but, you know, we also have an undefeated opponent for Messi, and that's... Father time, dude.
Yeah.
At a certain point, Messi's not going to be Messi, and Messi has been outperforming his body, if I had to be honest, for his entire career. There's a lot of miles on those little legs.
You have to understand that Lionel Messi has basically been playing soccer around the calendar since he was 15 years old. He is 34, 35, so for 20 years straight.
20 years.
There's not a lot of breaks, especially when you're on a big-time international... Or when I say international, a big time club like FC Barcelona for the longest. Between club and country.
He's 37.
Okay, he's 37. So for over 20 years.
Yeah.
They never stop because they're always playing in Premier League. I'm not Premier League. Champions League. Yeah. They're always playing in different, you know, La Liga.
There's always something.
For different cups. They're playing internationals. They're doing all this stuff. And then he's got Argentina, whether it be the Copa, whether it be World Cup, whether it be the Olympics. It's been a long time, but he and both Suarez have really outplayed what was expected of them. They've been absolutely fantastic, but I think Messi's got the hamstring problems, but it doesn't seem to be a problem, although they got by very luckily last night. We'll see what happens in that. The Copa America does continue tonight. Venezuela versus Canada. That is at 9 o'clock. The Euros, huge in just a little bit. Noon, Germany and Spain, two of the favorites. And then at 3, France and Portugal. Which Cristiano Ronaldo will show up?
Ooh.
We'll have to wait and see. We always know Kylian Mbappe shows up, so that's not a big...
Yeah, he does.
But Cristiano Ronaldo, last game, whoo, he almost cost his team. Whoo, he almost cost his team. Missing some gimmies, so... We'll have to see how that goes.
Yeah.
The Heat Summer League, it begins tomorrow, 6:30, versus Golden State in San Francisco. Championship was just raised by the Boston Celtics, and now we've got Summer League.
Look at that. So quick.
Yeah. Bronny James, the big name, of course, in the Summer League. He's going to get his first taste of Summer League. I can't say first start of Summer League because I can't promise you if he's going to start or not.
I did hear a lot of reports saying that he'd spent a majority of the year with the G League affiliate. And I'm like, $7 million for a G League guy? That's interesting.
Yeah. So he's basically going to make $2 million a year.
Yeah.
I like that, though. LeBron gets his deal.
Yep.
2 years, $104 million. Bronny gets a deal. Basically, 4 years, $8 million.
Yeah. So not necessarily your dad's numbers yet, but still an NBA contract.
So what I think they're probably going to do, and this is just me thinking out loud, is what they're going to do with Bronny James is he's going to be back and forth between the G League and 10-day contracts in the NBA, and they're going to try to get him on the court as much as they can with LeBron James. What throws a real kink into things is, what if LeBron James gets hurt for the season?
Ooh.
Does Bronny James get called up, or is it just,
that'd be interesting.
You need some seasoning. Part of the deal is you play with your father, even though, you know, you quote-unquote earned it, and, you know, like...
What bodes better for his career? The Lakers doing well, or the Lakers doing bad? Like, what, his career? What gives him a better chance of playing or being called up? Them doing so well, hey, you know, LeBron and them can maybe take some nights off, or we can kind of coast, or is it the team sucks, we need more talent? Like, what is better for Bronny's career, the Lakers doing good or the Lakers doing bad?
That's a good question. I'm going to say the Lakers doing good because they can justify picking him and everything that's going on. And like I said, they could build some capital and have a couple games here and there that they can take some risks. If the team's really bad, yeah, you can get in there and start playing, but you're probably part of the reason why the team is bad. So I would go with that one.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I think, there's positive and negatives to both sides of that. But I think he has a better chance of playing, like you said, if the team is doing well. You know, let's say they go and they have a point where they're like 30-9 or something like that. And it's like, let's go ahead and call up Bronny, because you call up Bronny and in the same way Tim Tebow did, or the same way a lot of these other players who didn't necessarily find that long-term success, that guy's going to sell jerseys, dude. He's going to sell tickets. He's going to put butts in seats. And we all know at the end of the day how often people say sports is a business. It's a business. It's a business. So if he's going to bring millions of dollars simply by me putting him on the court, then I'm going to have to put him on the court a couple times, and I'm going to feel more comfortable if my team is, 30-9 as opposed to 9-30.
Right, and you can also make the excuse of why he spent so much time in the G League saying, we have just such a good team. There's just not room.
Exactly.
We got a couple of guys on the G League team that we'd like to bring up. We just don't have the time, including Bronny. So it kind of gives you an out there, too. But I think them being better, it's going to help him be better. But
you know what? I got a quick question, though. Mm-hmm. At the same time, seeing the other side, I just thought of something. If the team is doing bad, for example, they're 9-30. From a business standpoint, it may be like, hey, let's bring Bronny up to sell some tickets, get some butts in the seats, get some excitement around the ball club. Maybe that's something that he's used more as like a tool in that sense.
Yeah.
Like, for example, T-shirt time at a basketball game. Uh-huh. Things aren't necessarily going well. It's time to drop the T-shirts.
Everybody wants a free T-shirt.
Is it the same thing? Like, things aren't looking so well. It's time to drop the Bronny.
Well, that's one of the other reasons why I thought, one of the many reasons why I thought it was a good draft pick, because the financial reasons of it. And whether you like to believe it or not, teams are worried about the bottom line and not just about winning championships. As much as we want them to be all championships all the time, that's the only thing you should care about. No, it's actually, there is a financial side to it. It brings interest. It brings eyes. It sells jerseys. Yeah. I don't know. Mm-hmm.
We'll
that see. Being said, let's go ahead and take a step into the day spa. Social media is going crazy over a bikini that is inspired by civil rights leader Rosa Parks.
Damn, I saw this. I saw the story in the headlines, and I had to do more research on it.
How does that happen?
What are we even doing here? I saw it was a design. I can't remember the name of the company, but I did see that. I don't even think it made it to anyone's body yet, but I saw that it was like a sketch design that was inspired by
Rosa Parks.
I don't understand the crossover there.
Legendary,
The crossover I didn't know I needed.
Hush that buzz. I don't know. But yeah.
Interesting. I can understand why the internet is up in arms about that. Let's keep bikinis and our historical figures away from each other.
Yeah. I don't need a Napoleon.
like a man
thong.
Exactly.
Too much.
Speedo of some sort.
Dolphins are eating good. Does that equal wins, though? We'll discuss that next here on the Tobin and Leroy Show, 560 WQAM. NFL players are eating good nowadays. It's looking like more and more organizations are trying to combine food favorites with nutrition. Get this ESPN article. Sarah Barshop writes, in June, after a minicamp practice in the smoldering Florida heat, Miami Dolphins defensive tackle Zach Sealer and his teammates received welcome news. Practice the following day was canceled. But for Sealer, the good news wouldn't end there. As the six-year veteran finished answering questions from the media, a Dolphins team staffer mentioned gyros. What are we going to call it? Gyros or gyros?
This is rough. So we're against gyro then?
Yeah.
Hero. No, because hero is a hoagie. Gyro.
Gyros. Gyro were being served for lunch. One of Sealer's favorites. It's gyro day today? He asked with a wide grin on his face, "Let's go." So the Dolphins have gyro day.
So as opposed to, you know, your normal rice, vegetables, mm-hmm. or like you know, chicken patties, something like that. Now we've that only makes sense. I noticed recently that technology advances in more ways than I had previously thought. When you say technology advances, you think robots and AI and stuff like that. But also just the technology of how, you know, things work, the medicine industry and even small things like the fast food industry or bro, you seen these Stanley Cups? These Stanley Cups that are around, and I'm not talking about the Florida Panthers Stanley Cup. I'm talking about these damn cups that just keep your ice cold for an extended period of time, mm-hmm. like these thermoses or whatever. That essentially is a technology of a cup. Initially, we had a cup, right? It would hold your liquid. And then we had cups that looked nice, you know, were the fancy cups and stuff like that. Now we've gotten to the point where this cup will not only make your or hold your ice for 24 hours, it also has a convenient metal straw that's recyclable and little trinkets that you can add to it and grip and so on and so forth. So it just makes sense as everything continues to arise. The way and the nutrition that is provided at these facilities also advances.
Yeah, so, food science is advancing so much. I'm guessing you get enough protein in your gyro that you'll be good. I'm trying to think what I would
tzatziki
want.
Tzatziki sauce.
That's yeah, cool. Yeah. So, I mean, I like that. And does it make a difference? To me, it does make a difference because you see guys like Zach Sealer being like, whoa. And, you know, if you're happy, you're feeling good, if you're staying nutrition, that's great. And, you know, you're keeping your guys away from a lot of other teams. I've said, I've been at some teams where the food is absolutely, like the Los Angeles Rams, Steve Avila. Yeah. He says the food is so terrible, players won't eat it. They'll go to McDonald's or something. Which, of course, you want to keep your players away from.
Yeah, absolutely, man. That nutrition, you don't even realize that you're on a diet based off of if it's truly something that you like. You know what I'd want?
I was going to say, what do you want?
Chipotle.
You want Chipotle.
Yeah, if you can have Chipotle.
You have beans, rice.
Beans, rice, some chicken, protein, or whatever. You can add steak. You can have whatever shredded meat you'd like. You give me some sort of Chipotle, I can do that every day, dude. I can definitely do that every day.
Yeah, I'm always a big pasta guy. Like, I like the lasagnas. Yeah. I like the pastas. I would think that would be something that could be on the training table. And, you know, if you need a protein, I don't know, throw some type of either chicken or bolognese sauce into the mix, stuff like that. But I'm trying to think of some more unique things that you could still get going.
That are beneficial to my output. See, that's where it gets hard because I can think of all the things that I would want there from like a damn that's delicious kind of perspective. But now what's going to transfer over into my on the field performance? Not too many of those things. I don't anticipate the Dairy Queen Butterfinger Blizzard that I would request. The machine. I would like a machine, by the way, at any point, 24 hours, almost like a cruise ship. I can go over there and just pull the lever and have Dairy Queen Butterfinger Blizzards come out. That would be amazing.
Yeah.
Wouldn't help my on the field performance though.
Would not help your on the field performance. What is some of the worst, what is like one of the worst things you've eaten most recently, like that you're just like, that's disgusting?
So people constantly try to get me to eat seafood. They know it's something that I'm not necessarily a fan of. I'm also not a child, so I'm not going to be here and be like, ew, that's icky. I'm going to give it a shot. I always try to give it a shot. But recently, I had an opportunity to try what someone referred to as the best calamari they've ever had. It doesn't even taste like seafood. It doesn't even taste like it. Totally did, dude. It totally did. I had a piece of the breading kind of fall off, so the squid inside kind of came out like an onion ring from Burger King. And it was gross, dude. The texture of it, the idea of it, the smell of it, the taste of it, just the remnants of it just stays on my tongue. Now, some people love calamari. I know a lot of people who do. But this one was very squid-like, very fish-like, and not necessarily a fan of that. But, you know, it's, I guess, not as bad as it could have been. Anything for you?
I guess the most unhealthy thing that I've had, of course, is whenever we have donuts here at work, I eat those. Yeah. So those aren't healthy.
We're a bad influence on you, I know for
not
sure.
Not terrible. Not terrible, though. You know.
Every time there's something, like Leroy comes in and you order something, or maybe there's something in the front there, normally you probably would have had a good day, but now you're coming. Although, recently they left grapes. I'll give them credit for that.
Yeah, well, that's the weirdest thing. There's Los Angeles Lakers grapes.
Los Angeles Laker grapes. That was strange, yeah. That was true.
And there was a head of lettuce out there the other day, too. They said, be our guest. Take the head of lettuce.
Where is this even coming from? Is someone just emptying their fridge? I got to get rid of this.
So, 2024 NFLPA report cards for nutrition/dietitians at the top, Minnesota Vikings and Miami Dolphins.
Oh, nice.
All the Dolphins players, even Durham Smythe, saying the food here is pretty darn good. Stephen Ross says, I try not to take it for granted. I try to give our players good food that they could enjoy and that could still be healthy and beneficial to them.
Damn.
Houston Texans get an A-. Atlanta Falcons get an A-. Las Vegas Raiders get an A-. Now, the bottom of the list.
Yeah, I was saying, who's at the bottom of that?
Well, you got to figure. Arizona Cardinals.
Oh.
Buffalo okay. Bills.
Hold on. You've been to Buffalo by any chance?
I've never been to Buffalo.
So I've been to Arizona.
Well, yeah, I've been to Arizona.
And I've been to a couple cities in Arizona, and I have not had great food, dude.
Okay.
The people are amazing. The cities are beautiful. There's many benefits to living in that area.
Oh, yeah.
One of them, to me, was not the culinary experience. Mm-hmm. I definitely had to order. I was in Flagstaff, Arizona that night. We had went to a local restaurant. It wasn't great. Ended up having to order Little Caesars after.
Ooh, that's a tough night when you have to go, when you've already spent so much that you got to get $5 hot and ready.
When you're like, I need to upgrade my dining experience, let me get Little Caesars, that's not a good time.
Man.
Not a good time.
Buffalo a D+, Pittsburgh a D, and Kansas City comes in with an F, but Cincinnati F-.
So the F- is crazy, and we must address that. But let me just address the Kansas City Chiefs. I've heard so many horrible things about their facilities,
about the way they treat their players.
Just everything. They get negatively rated on everything, and they're still out here collecting championships.
They're always at the bottom of the list for everything.
For everything. And I just don't understand how the hell is that possible that they still manage to win these championships.
Kind of wonder. The Dolphins are at the top of the list of everything.
And we lose.
We're trying to win a playoff game.
Can't even win a playoff
game. Kansas City, facility-wise.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Ownership-wise. Food-wise.
Anytime the players are asked to take a survey about the Kansas City area or anything in regards to that team, it's always poorly scored, and yet somehow they managed to be the top of the NFL power rankings.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it's not somehow. There's a big reason why. A couple big reasons
why.
Huge
reason why, yeah.
I'd say four of them. Mahomes, Kelce, Chris Jones, and Andy Reid. That's essentially the formula that you need for a championship. Not Giro Day.
Oh, I love some Giro Day, though.
Can't stand that word, dude. Giro, gif.
Well, that's the problem. It polarizes so many people. Like, yeah. Some people think it's heroes. So hero, giro, gyro. You know what we mean.
You know what we mean.
But yeah, that's the thing. Like, I wanted to visit Kansas City one time just because, you know, it's off the beaten path and it'd be, you know, going somewhere that most people haven't been. Yeah. And then I saw all these negative reviews from the football team and from other people. And then Channing Crowder was there one time and was like, seriously, there is nothing to do here but eat barbecue.
Eat barbecue.
He's like, I was even at a barbecue place being like, okay, well, what else is there to do? Like, they gave me a suggestion of three other barbecue places. He said, okay, I've done barbecue. I want to do something else. They're like, yeah, but you should still get some more barbecue. He's like, well, name something else. They couldn't. And I was like, okay, I'm done with that. I'm done.
That's fair. That's definitely fair, man. Those are those places, you know, like a Green Bay, Wisconsin or something like that, that have the diehard football teams because what the hell else is there to do?
That's it. The NFL PA report cards for just a simple food and cafeteria. Miami Dolphins top of the list with an A. So really up there. Philadelphia Eagles with an A. San Francisco 49ers A-. Houston Texans apparently doing some good things A-. And Las Vegas Raiders B+. Well, I mean, Las Vegas, you can just go to the buffets and the casinos and just...
During the week, though. It's cheaper.
Yeah. What's your choice of buffet at a casino? Is it breakfast, lunch, or dinner?
Damn. Hey, now that's a good question. What's interesting is when I'm at home, you can't catch me eating breakfast.
Right. Not on vacation, man.
But on vacation, though, the opportunity to go and pick out a waffle or a pancake and you know, at my pleasure with toppings at my pleasure. That's not something that I usually experience. So whether I'm at a casino or on a cruise ship, or most recently I took a Mexican vacation at an all-inclusive, and some of the best meals that I had were honestly for breakfast.
Oh, yeah.
Can I tell you where they lack, though? Lunch. I always feel like I get a lack, like, oh, here's some chicken tenders and, like, cheeseburgers for lunch. And I'm like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, because what happens is you force yourself to get up at an all-inclusive so you can get that breakfast buffet.
For sure, for sure.
So I guess you load up on the breakfast buffet, and you still want to eat dinner, so lunch is kind of like a forgotten-about meal.
It really is. It seems like that, too. The cruise ships are kind of like, eh, we'll have some chicken tenders and burgers. And then whenever you go to any of the all-inclusives, I went to a Mexican all-inclusive recently in Cancun. And when I tell you, it was so hard for me to get a damn taco. Like, I'm in Mexico. Can I get a taco, please? They had Chinese night, Caribbean night. I'm like, what the hell are we doing?
We're in Mexico.
I want a taco.
What was the unlimited beer? Was it Mexican beers or was it?
No, it was whatever you wanted. So the options, obviously they had all Mexican options, but they also had Modelo available. But I'm not going to lie to you, man. I was mainly on the liquor and the alcohol. But tell me if you agree with this. They didn't start selling alcohol until 11 a.m.
Yeah, that
happens. Then they didn't. And then they ended alcohol sales at 10:30 p.m.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it was just a specific rule for the hotel that I happen to be in. I guess it was more family oriented or something like that. But 11 a.m. I could have been drunk already by 11 a.m.
Well, that's usually the move. Most all inclusives don't start selling or giving away booze until 10 a.m. But if you go to the breakfast buffet, you can get mimosas and
see. That's what I was thinking too. No, this stupid place was just like, we want families, and I'm like, you know what? I understand. I'm here with my family, so it totally makes sense. That's why I'd be here. But you let me get drunk when I want to get drunk.
That's the other thing. Yeah. Well, did you have beers in the refrigerator in the room?
So they gave us, access to a mini fridge, and they were kind enough to give us a complimentary bottle of tequila.
Oh,
but I'm not sure if tequila a 9 a.m. thing. I mean, I've done it. Don't get me wrong, necessarily, I was looking for some champagne.
It gets you on the downward slope really quick.
It does. Tequila in Mexico.
Wow. Ooh, that's solid, though.
Good stuff.
That's solid.
Yeah.
Going to talk a little Khalil Ware next here on the Tobin and Leroy Show, 560 WQAM.
Check it out now.
Tomorrow, 6:30, we'll get our first look at rookie first-round pick Khalil Ware. Also, second-round pick.
Check it out now.
Pelle Larson.
Yes. Pelle Larson.
Is it Pella?
It is Pella, which is strange. Because Pella. It's what is it, like P-E-L-L-E?
Yep.
Yeah, but somehow it's Pella.
Pelle Larson.
Yeah.
Exciting. Once again, I told you, we got to be a little not so gung-ho on Khalil Ware just yet. He is only 2 years of college basketball, 1 year with Oregon, 1 year with Indiana.
Yep.
He's 7 foot. As we know, there is a learning curve in the NBA from college basketball. But in summer league, we hope he gets off to a good start. We do know a few, I don't know if you'd say things about Khalil Ware, but we do know some basics about him. He is what you call a 3-and-D center. So he had a lot of threes and a lot of dunks. He was very good at defense. He had averaged 2 blocks a game for Indiana University last year, and he was first team Big Ten all defense.
Yeah.
So it makes you wonder, what do you expect? What do you want? First of all, what do you want realistically from Khalil Ware in this summer league?
So I think the step that, you know, a lot of people take or have problems taking when they transition from college basketball to NBA basketball is defensively. The game is quicker, the bodies are bigger, the guys are stronger. That just is what it is. We've seen it with a lot of our players. Nikola Jovic struggled to find time on the court. Sometimes Duncan Robinson did as well. And the way you could combat that is by being an overwhelmingly good offensive scorer, which is why sometimes you'll see certain rookies still. It also depends on the situation the team is in. What I think Khalil Ware progresses at, or, you know, excels at, I should say, is his defensive prowess. And I think that's going to be able to find him time on the court. Not only does he have the ability with his height to deter a shot, he has a shot blocking ability, which is also timing and vertical. And those are two things that he's exhibited already. And that translates height defensive timing and vertical ability translate from college to the pros. So if you're asking me what I want from him, it's not an increasingly, you know, like an increased work or workload on the offensive side. It's what I want him to be able to hold down defensively and rebounding that center position, because that's going to open up Bam Adebayo. What I want from him is not necessarily this unicorn of a season to the point where people are going to be speaking his name for Rookie of the Year. Essentially, what I want him to be is a serviceable center so that he can open up what I think could be a career year for Bam Adebayo.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. This is what I feel about Khalil Ware. Be who you are. If you do what you did in the NBA what you did in college, and I'm not saying the exact same numbers or everything like that, I'm not looking for you to improve your game yet. That'll come with time. They say he has no mid-range. Yeah. I'm okay with that. If he can be what he was in college for the Heat, which is a three and dunks guy, a three and D guy, he can go out, make one or two three-pointers a game, play some defense, get some blocks, and then be the number five and let Bam Adebayo go do his own thing. I'm 100% happy with that.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm not looking for him to improve his game yet. Now, with time, of course, that will improve.
Of course.
But if all he does is dunks and threes, I'm okay with that.
I'm really okay with that.
I'm really okay with that. And then, you know, he goes down there and plays D against the center of the other team. It's like,
yeah, for sure.
Okay, if he ends up being what he is, that especially this rookie year, I'm totally fine with that. If he shoots a decent high percentage of three-pointers in summer league and gets some good thunderous dunks and some good blocks, once again, I'm happy with that. No, I don't know. I don't think he's going to have his college numbers of 16, 10, and 2 blocks a game.
Yeah.
But, you know, if he can come in there and 7, 8 points a game, 6 rebounds a game.
I need a little bit more.
A block?
Give me 7.
Seven rebounds a game, 8, 7, and 1.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that. And with the defense that he's going to be taking up on, you know, on the number 5, so Bam Adebayo doesn't have to expend that much energy. It also opens up Bam to kind of move around. You already have the mid-range game, as we've talked about earlier, in Bam and Jimmy Butler. So that Khalil Ware doesn't play that much of a mid-range game or doesn't have that much of a mid-range game, that's okay right now, to be honest with you.
Yeah, defensively, what I want is the Jonas Valanciunases of the world, or the Al Horfords of the world. Those guys that are gonna occupy that center position, but not necessarily be the star player. That's where Bam Adebayo is spending his energy currently.
Mm-hmm.
He's dealing with those big bodies because he's the biggest body on the court, when in actuality, he should be sticking the team's best player, or he should be moving around. Khalil Ware being able to pick up that assignment frees open Bam Adebayo, and I think defensively, that allows you to go after a Trae Young or go after someone who may not be defensively talented because you have that backup now that you previously didn't. From an offensive standpoint, we haven't seen much of Chris Bosh, so I know there's not going to be a chance for him to work with Chris Bosh, but if we had an opportunity to get him in here so he can kind of fill that role that Chris Bosh developed into. And when Bosh came over, he wasn't a three-point shooter, but when he did begin to develop that three-point shot, the Miami Heat were willing to offer Chris Bosh the keys to the franchise before they were willing to give it to an aging Dwayne Wade at that point. They secured Chris Bosh's contract before that blood clot because they truly felt that he was going to be the future of what the Miami Heat can do. And that's because he was able to provide, like you said, that 3 and D from a center position.
Yeah, so Khalil Ware, just do what you do, and hopefully it'll work out for everyone
else.
Do what you do. I can't say Pelé Larsson, what I know.
Yeah. Oh, what do we get his nickname? Tobin calls him the Swedish Swish.
Swedish Swish.
Pretty good.
Earn it. Just earn that nickname.
Yeah,
that's all
we absolutely.
They can get both first and second rounders on the team this year. That would be awesome.
Yeah. Did we have a second round last year? I can't even remember. I definitely know we made a splash with Jaime Jaquez, but I can't remember who we got in the second round. I got to do some research. If we even had a second rounder, I can't even remember.
Right.
Let's see. If we can hit on both of those, though, it seems like the franchise has gone from, like, F those picks to, like, nah, we got this. We got this through the draft, apparently.
Might have to, with the money that, you know, we're so tightly bound with.
Yeah.
It's one of those things. So, yeah. But we'll see, though. The summer league will begin tomorrow. Of course, all eyes are on Bronny James. It's going to remain that way for a while. But the Heat against the Golden State Warriors in San Francisco, 6:30. I think in a week from now, they go to the Las Vegas, the big summer league with all the teams that are going to be out there.
Oh, okay. So this one's not fake.
This is like a warm-up summer league.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know when we're going to start covering the summer league games, but we're not supposed to be covering them this weekend, possibly next weekend. So I'll let you know about that.
Thank you.
Yeah, we'll keep posted on everything. We've got a little something for you next hour. We got some start, bench, cut. And we're going to get you caught up with everything else happening in the sports world here on 560 WQAM.
Check it out now.
Tomorrow, 6:30, we'll get our first look at rookie first-round pick Khalil Ware. Also, second-round pick.
Check it out now.
Pelle Larson.
Yes. Pelle Larson.
Is it Pella?
It is Pella, which is strange because Pella. It's what is it, like P-E-L-L-E?
Yep.
Yeah, but somehow it's Pella.
Pelle Larson.
Yeah.
Exciting. Once again, I told you, we got to be a little not so gung-ho on Khalil Ware just yet. He is only 2 years of college basketball, 1 year with Oregon, 1 year with Indiana.
Yep.
He's 7 foot. As we know, there is a learning curve in the NBA from college basketball. But in summer league, we hope he gets off to a good start. We do know a few, I don't know if you'd say things about Khalil Ware, but we do know some basics about him. He is what you call a 3-and-D center. So he had a lot of threes and a lot of dunks. He was very good at defense. He had averaged 2 blocks a game for Indiana University last year. And he was first team Big Ten all defense.
Yeah.
So it makes you wonder, what do you expect? What do you want? First of all, what do you want realistically from Khalil Ware in this summer league?
So I think the step that, you know, a lot of people take or have problems taking when they transition from college basketball to NBA basketball is defensively. The game is quicker, the bodies are bigger, the guys are stronger. That just is what it is. We've seen it with a lot of our players. Nikola Jovic struggled to find time on the court. Sometimes Duncan Robinson did as well. And the way you combat that is by being an overwhelmingly good offensive scorer, which is why sometimes you'll see certain rookies still. It also depends on the situation the team is in. What I think Khalil Ware progresses at, or you know, excels at, I should say, is his defensive prowess. And I think that's going to be able to find him time on the court. Not only does he have the ability with his height to deter a shot, he has a shot blocking ability, which is also timing and vertical. And those are two things that he's exhibited already. And that translates. Height, defensive timing, and vertical ability translate from college to the pros. So if you're asking me what I want from him, it's not an increasingly, you know, like an increased work or workload on the offensive side. It's what I want him to be able to hold down defensively and rebounding that center position, because that's going to open up Bam Adebayo. What I want from him is not necessarily this unicorn of a season to the point where people are going to be speaking his name for Rookie of the Year. Essentially, what I want him to be is a serviceable center so that he can open up what I think could be a career year for Bam Adebayo.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. This is what I feel about Khalil Ware. Be who you are. If you do what you did in the NBA what you did in college, and I'm not saying the exact same numbers or everything like that, I'm not looking for you to improve your game yet. That'll come with time. They say he has no mid-range. Yeah. I'm okay with that. If he can be what he was in college for the Heat, which is a 3-and-dunks guy, a 3-and-D guy, he can go out, make 1 or 2 3-pointers a game, play some defense, get some blocks, and then be the number 5 and let Bam Adebayo go do his own thing. I'm 100% happy with that.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm not looking for him to improve his game yet. Now, with time, of course, that will improve.
Of course.
But if all he does is dunks and threes, I'm okay with that.
I'm really okay with that.
I'm really okay with that. And then, you know, he goes down there and plays D against the center of the other team. It's like,
yeah, for sure.
Okay. If he ends up being what he is, that especially this rookie year, I'm totally fine with that. If he shoots a decent high percentage of three-pointers in summer league and gets some good thunderous dunks and some good blocks, once again, I'm happy with that. No, I don't know. I don't think he's going to have his college numbers of 16, 10, and 2 blocks a game.
Yeah.
But, you know, if he can come in there and 7-8 points a game, 6 rebounds a game.
I need a little bit more.
A block?
Give me 7.
Seven rebounds a game, 8-7-1.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that. And with the defense that he's going to be taking up on, you know, on the number 5, so Bam Adebayo doesn't have to expend that much energy. It also opens up Bam to kind of move around. You already have the mid-range game, as we've talked about earlier, in Bam and Jimmy Butler. So that Khalil Ware doesn't play that much of a mid-range game or doesn't have that much of a mid-range game, that's okay right now, to be honest with you.
Yeah, defensively, what I want is the Jonas Valanciunases of the world or the Al Horfords of the world. Those guys that are gonna occupy that center position, but not necessarily be the star player. That's where Bam Adebayo is spending his energy currently.
Mm-hmm.
He's dealing with those big bodies because he's the biggest body on the court, when in actuality, he should be sticking the team's best player, or he should be moving around. Khalil Ware being able to pick up that assignment frees open Bam Adebayo, and I think defensively, that allows you to go after a Trae Young or go after someone who may not be defensively talented because you have that backup now that you previously didn't. From an offensive standpoint, we haven't seen much of Chris Bosh, so I know there's not going to be a chance for him to work with Chris Bosh, but if we had an opportunity to get him in here so he can kind of fill that role that Chris Bosh developed into. When Bosh came over, he wasn't a three-point shooter, but when he did begin to develop that three-point shot, the Miami Heat were willing to offer Chris Bosh the keys to the franchise before they were willing to give it to an aging Dwayne Wade at that point. They secured Chris Bosh's contract before that blood clot because they truly felt that he was going to be the future of what the Miami Heat can do. And that's because he was able to provide, like you said, that 3-and-D from a center position.
Yeah, so Khalil Ware, just do what you do, and hopefully it'll work out for everyone.
Just do what you do, baby.
Do what you do. I can't say Pelle Larson, what I know.
Yeah. Oh, what do we get his nickname? Tobin calls him the Swedish Swish.
Swedish Swish.
Pretty good.
Earn it. Just earn that nickname.
Yeah,
that's all
absolutely. Absolutely.
They can get both first and second rounders on the team this year. That would be awesome.
Do we have a second round last year? I can't even remember. I definitely know we made a splash with Jaime Jaquez, but I can't remember who we got in the second round. I got to do some research. If we even had a second rounder, I can't even remember.
Right, right.
Let's see. If we can hit on both of those, though, it seems like the franchise has gone from, like, F those picks to, like, man, we got this. We got this through the draft, apparently.
Might have to with the money that, you know, we're so tightly bound with.
Yeah.
It's one of those things. So, yeah. But we'll see, though. The Summer League will begin tomorrow. Of course, all eyes are on Bronny James. It's going to remain that way for a while. But the Heat against the Golden State Warriors in San Francisco, 6:30. I think in a week from now, they go to the Las Vegas, the big Summer League with all the teams that are going to be out there.
Oh, okay. So this one's not fake.
This is like a warm-up Summer League.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know when we're going to start covering the Summer League games, but we're not supposed to be covering them this weekend, possibly next weekend. So I'll let you know about that.
Thank you.
Yeah, we'll keep posted on everything. We've got a little something for you next hour. We got some start, bench, cut. And we're going to get you caught up with everything else happening in the sports world here on 560 WQAM.